Greetings and salutations, fine people. I'm Patty Alvarez. Welcome to The Good Soul, a show where we'll have supercharged chats with everyday humans from all walks of life and unpack what in their story will inspire us all. We'll extract the untapped wisdom, distill it, and serve it up to you in all the right ways that will engage, enlighten, and most of all, inspire growth within your soul. I think people are awesome. So join me on this journey through the hearts and minds of ordinary people to uncover the good soul within you. This is The Good Soul. Greetings and salutations, fine people. Welcome to The Good Soul. We're on episode 8, and the title for today's episode is Success is a Muscle. I'm lucky enough to have sitting here with me today, Darren Zeno. Hi, Darren.
Hey there.
Hi, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. It's really cool to have you, honestly. The intro, we were warming up for the show. I like didn't want that conversation to end. I kept saying like, let's wait. So Darren is one person, when I think of the quote, success is a muscle, he's the first person that comes to mind. So I don't want to quick hop into your story yet about this, what prompted this feeling. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your upbringing, your background?
Well, I was born in Philadelphia, PA. That is why I have that burning Eagles, Phillies, Sixers, Flyers.
Oh yeah, we know that.
That I can't get out of me. I can't, you can't cut it out
when the
if
Eagles
you're from
lose,
that area.
When the Eagles lose, I'm sad.
I know. You know about the family, what they have to deal with.
Yeah.
I'm from Philly originally. We lived there till I was 12, 13. My parents then decided, my dad took a job in Jacksonville, Florida. So that brought us to Jacksonville. Went to junior high, high school, college at the University of Florida. Brenda,
okay.
Brenda Zeno, who you know. Brenda, I met in Jacksonville. We actually met in confirmation class.
No way.
If you can believe that.
No, I didn't.
With my Yves Saint Laurent sock tie and my felt stole.
Love it. Yeah. 12 years old, is that confirmation?
Probably confirmation's like seventh or eighth.
So I thought you were
14.
I thought you were college.
No, we worked at Chick-fil-A together in high school, and we're just really good buddies. She went to Florida State. I went to Florida, came home our freshman year, got together, and then
the worlds collided.
Just kind of never ended.
Yeah, looks that
Here
way.
Here we sit.
I know, we always
Here
say
we sit.
They're goals, relationship goals. So what was your sport in high school?
In high school, I mean, I loved throwing the football, playing basketball. My 5'10"-ness was an issue there,
okay.
But I played on the tennis team. I played golf with my buddies. I swam a little bit, but I was in band all growing up.
Oh,
so
okay.
I mean, part of it was, you know, I played trumpet from the time I was, you know, second grade, seven years old.
Okay.
So, I mean, I was in marching band, concert band, all the way through school. I actually got a full scholarship, music scholarship, to University of Florida, but they make you major in music. They make you march.
Yeah.
And I was done with that. I wanted to be in the fraternity with my buddies. And so that's kind of when I put the trumpet back on the stand.
Yeah.
But that's really in high school.
That's what you did.
Yeah.
It's interesting because my daughter was in the women's choir at Lake Norman. And once in a while, there would be like the captain of the football team who had this burning desire to sing or dance or play an instrument. And I was always fascinated by that person. Well, I think that's what turned you into what I would say is the modern day Renaissance.
They made a movie about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did.
The guy, High School Musical.
Yeah,
Zac Efron.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good. Yes, right. Very good point. So you are in Jacksonville with, this is as you, when you graduate college, you guys live in Jacksonville?
Yeah. My first job and Brenda's first job was at Barnett Bank. It took me about 3 months to realize, as I was handing dog biscuits out of a teller line Saturday morning at 7:30, there's gotta be more. You know, when you say there's more to life than this, there's gotta be more. You know, the funny thing is I worked at the bank for a couple of years. I ended up going to one of these in Atlanta. I went to one of these career fairs where you walk in with your resume. It was in the convention center. There was probably 5,000 people in there with resumes.
Yeah.
And there happened to be this New England employee benefits desk and this guy sitting behind it. And I walked up with my resume. It was right after I went to Icon Copiers.
Yeah.
And you know, places like that, they're all there.
Yeah.
And he said, well, we go into companies, we ask them about their benefits. and then maybe they don't like them, and maybe they'll switch to ours. And I was like, well, that sounds good.
Benefits, health insurance, investment plans, life insurance. Health and 401k, yeah,
four companies. And so from that meeting, I went in the next day and met his boss. They hired me, and I sit here now. I've never been in
still anything, in that business.
Never done anything
so
different.
So any interests, any as a college graduate, I really want to be an investment banker. I really want to be in any specific goal, or did this career fair kind of land you in that place?
I knew that my strengths lied with being around people, talking to people, you know, emotionally. I could do this from the time I was very, very young. Mm-hmm. Emotionally move people from point A to point B. I love telling stories. And it seemed like that skill set would lend itself to what this was.
Okay.
In some way, shape, or form.
Sure.
And that's really what it was for me.
Okay. So you start with Hartford, you had said?
Well, I started in New England.
Oh, New England.
So I really only had three jobs. I was at New England for 6 years as a rep, did really well, you know, just there was awards along the way, and that's kind of what gets you to the next thing. The Hartford opportunity came about because it was just 401k.
Okay.
Anybody that's ever had anything to do with health insurance and handing somebody a 40% renewal knows the joy of that feeling.
Okay.
I wanted to remove that from the resume.
Okay.
And only do the 401k. I was at the Hartford for 12 years as a rep, then went and ran a division, and then Hartford went for sale. They put that business up for sale. I was lucky enough to have some friends at Transamerica that said, hey, you come over as the divisional, bring as many people with you as you can.
Okay.
I came over as the divisional, meaning running part of the country. Mm-hmm. Then I moved into the national role, national of a certain product, and now I'm head of distribution. So for better or for worse, everything that happens in retirement from a distribution of product standpoint in the U.S. rolls up through me.
Okay. What point, at what year did you guys move to Mooresville? To North Carolina.
We moved to Carolina in 2001.
Okay.
Ansley was one. Ansley, our oldest, who's 24.
Sure.
And then we moved up to Mooresville. We moved into where we live now in 2004.
2004.
So we've been here 20 years.
Okay. And what attracted me to your story was the acquisition of a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what really got me. So we have about 2 minutes left in this segment. So let's kind of get into real quick the year that this happened and a little bit about that story.
So the purchase of that, the idea of doing that and the purchase of it happened in 08, 09.
08, 09.
So
okay.
If anybody that remembers 08, 09 knows what happened those years, it was like the worst tragedy we had in the history of the economics in America, right?
Of course. Yes.
We went into it probably undercapitalized. We went into it, we got into it on the cheap, if you will.
So you were buying a franchise.
Yep.
It was a fast food chain.
Mm-hmm.
18 doors? Was it
18 stores, and we bought another five. And the reality is, look, we were paying our bills along the way. We were doing what we were supposed to do. You know, the company that we were involved with, they changed from selling to small mom and pop folks to wanting people that had ticker symbols.
Sure.
Darren Zeno, there is no ticker symbol for Darren Zeno.
Right.
At some point, they wanted $1 million per store to upgrade it. It was just never going to be us.
Okay.
And so at one point, they sat us down. They were going to strip the franchise tag and we were going to have to get into lawsuits. It was just going to be a whole ugly mess of a thing.
I'm going to ask you to hit pause here because when we come back, we are going to learn how Darren rebounded and turned this whole situation into what I would say you're living your best life right now. So guys, don't go away. We'll be back in just a few and we'll learn more about this road to success with Darren Zeno. Hey guys, welcome back to The Good Soul. I'm lucky enough to be sitting here with Darren Zeno. And today our episode is titled, Success is a Muscle. So if there's anybody on the planet who I could get inspired by, who I get to speak to pretty much on a regular basis, it would be this man sitting to my left. Darren has endured probably what would seem to most of us like an insurmountable challenge in business. And this business, what we would say on Boots to the Ground level was a side hustle, sort of. I mean, you were maintaining this career, right, with Transamerica, and you went ahead and acquired 23 stores of a fast food franchise, and that basically they came along after you got in and said you have to upfit all of these locations to the tune of over $1 million per location.
Correct.
And as you said, you don't have ticker symbols next to your names, and there's not a money tree out back.
Right.
And that faced you with a challenge. So why don't you pick up from where I left off?
Yeah, I mean, basically, look, the people that we had bought that franchise from, the ownership of that group, the headquarters, they had all turned over. And so like any business, you know, they basically, what they wanted out of their franchise folks changed.
Okay.
Who they wanted them to be. They wanted people with ticker symbols that had 1,000 stores and unlimited resources and financing.
Okay. So let me just, so it wasn't corporate. And I'm working really hard to not say the name of this. It was corporate.
It was corporate.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was a group.
The whole corporate structure there changed.
Okay.
And so
why did they sell to you to begin with? Didn't they see these plans on the horizon, or?
They did not. Totally different folks.
I
had had a partner.
Okay. I
had a partner the whole time. That partner went to work for our group. I kept my job while we did this. This was my outside business activity. It just was an unfortunate spot. And look, I will tell you this too. Anybody that's looking into franchises, where that comes from, that mentality is, what I have isn't enough. I'm doing well, but it's not enough. And I was doing really well, but it's not enough. I could do something different.
Okay.
And if I had advice for anybody, before you just willy-nilly enter into one of these relationships, get an attorney, get two attorneys, get seven attorneys, talk to them, and you should buy it based on this. What is the worst case scenario of what could happen? If you can live with that, then do it by all means. But if that in any way, shape, or form is not comfortable to you, then don't. Because the ending of that story for me and the 6 years it took to unwind it, 6 years, we sold for this and we owed that.
Right.
And there was one person who you're talking to. That had to basically, there was no judgments, there was no settlements, there was no, you know, lost court cases, there was bankrupt. I just
paid that bill
and paid it through talking to people and working with people over 6 years.
Yeah. Tell me though, you may say, because usually when I ask a man this, when I ask Manny about his MS, he says no, but tell me you wouldn't change a thing. Would you?
I would change it.
You would change it.
I would have changed it. I would have, what I would have done has been much more smart as we entered in. You know, I would have been much more diligent into what we bought. There's just, you know, that, and that's on me, right? So some of the frustration over those years was I did it to myself. And I may, if I'm being honest, I have a spouse that may have said, are we sure about this? Are we sure about that? That's more Brenda's thing. Yeah. I'm more like, it's going to be fine. What's the worst thing that could happen?
It's got to be that
the
way.
The worst thing that could happen is worse than you can imagine. So what I would tell you is, you know, imagine this. Imagine while you're going through this, I went through a 6 year period where every morning there was not a positive email about this.
Yeah.
So it got to the point when I would check my Gmail, not my work email, my Gmail account. If I saw one of two certain names, I could feel my heart drop into my stomach every day.
I have a couple of those in my life.
And so people that don't believe that PTSD is a real thing, I can tell you it is. Because to this day, if I open my email box and there's something that remotely even looks like something, until I read it, my heart, the thing is for me, I go right back into that place.
Yeah.
And so what I had to learn to do, you know, what I had to learn to do was wake up every day and work my way through this. And I think in life, what people want, whenever you enter a tough spot, right, whatever it may be, everybody wants to be at the ending. They just want it to be over. There are certain things that you just can't get to the ending on.
Sure.
They have to be methodically worked day by day by day. So then you have a choice. Did I think it was going to be 6 years? Absolutely not. We owned the stores for 6 years and we're paying our bills. They just came to us one day and said, this is what you're going to do. If you're not, we're taking your stores from you. We were forced to sell. I mean, they just put us in a box and made us do it. Mm-hmm. And then it was 6 years, another 6 years fully to unwind the whole thing.
Right.
And so I had to find a way, first of all, to function, just to function in life. Mm-hmm. I had another job where I was an executive.
You had two young children.
I had two young children. You had a wife. I was standing up in front of people presenting at work and in my job.
Did your job suffer?
You know what's funny? I don't think it did, because what it made me do that I do today, talk about taking a step back and really prioritizing like what was important. Mm-hmm. I had to really split my life and just, I had to take all of that stuff and that emotion and put it in a box and then truly go to work. And I think probably I had a focus that nobody had in the world, because I wanted anything to not think about that other stuff. So okay. I could lose myself for the brief, you know, the period of time I was working every day. I could lose myself in that job to emotionally take me away from where I was.
Well, and Darren, so much better than losing yourself in your misery, your victimhood, a bottle of Jack Daniels.
I had some of that.
Oh, well, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
What did you have to sacrifice in light of this? Like, how did your life change without asking you your bank balance or asking you anything too personal? What did you have to sacrifice? So what do we have to sacrifice to overcome something, a challenge like this?
I think we had to get comfortable with, and this, you know, Brenda will say this to me, we were living pretty high on the hog. I had done pretty well for a pretty good period of time. Maybe I had a little bit of invincibility in me.
Okay.
I think about that. Maybe I thought I had a little of that. You have something like this happen in life, it smacks you right in the teeth. Mm-hmm. You learn real quick that what true invincibility is. You had to make sacrifices. Mm-hmm. That house at the beach, you know, were we forced to do anything? No, we weren't really forced to. I mean, there was money that was paid out of a bank account. That without saying, like, I had worked really hard to get to where I was. Mm-hmm. Some of that went away. Yeah. A lot of it did.
But can I just ask you, I proudly pay my taxes, my bills. Yeah. I don't walk into a business looking for something for free. There's also a sense of satisfaction, gratification in the fact that you had the ability to do that. I feel like almost in a way, that's why you kind of puff your chest up.
I did everything in my power to make sure that I did the right thing the whole way so I could keep my job. I mean, there's parts of my job you have to talk about what happened in your life. I have what's called a U4 in my business. Everything's public record. So mm-hmm. I didn't want anything to tarnish me at all. And if it meant having to, you know, do what I had to do along the way, I did. But I will look, the end of the story is you have to find joy along the way, even in that pain. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I sit here with now that not a lot of people have is, boy, I have some perspective. Mm-hmm. When you ask what changed, a beach house went away. We moved our home. We made a lot of changes. We took maybe what was this and we turned it to that. And the beauty is I haven't changed that philosophy.
Sure.
I've gotten way back to where I want to be and everything else, but I want to keep everything tight after that.
Well, Darren, you're a young guy. You just turned 50. It's not like you're 75. You have miles and miles and miles ahead of you to really experience all of that. So that's okay, in my opinion.
And look, what I'm able to do now, I've been managing people since 2007. Now I manage, you know, 160 people, if you will, in that the group that I work with. You know, people get down, people have tough days, people that know some of this story. And my closest friends that know what I went through mm-hmm. and know how I came out on the other side, it does give me the ability to talk to people and say, look, I went to bed thinking I was going to go to jail. I mean, the worst thing in the world is the internet. You get on the internet, I thought I was going to go to jail. I thought my kids were going to be homeless.
I understand completely. I thought
we were going to be pauper. I mean, I went from here to the worst possible place and ending you could go to. And I say this to people all the time. If I could go back and talk to Darren Zeno circa 2014 or 15 mm-hmm. and tell him where Darren Zeno and, you know, what are we, 2024 mm-hmm. would be 24. Sitting, I wish I could do that.
But Darren, remember, you have to thank Darren Zeno from 2015.
I found a way through.
He found a way through. He's responsible for all these dreams and plans and all this greatness. And I have to say, I heard the story and I heard about how you downsized, right? And then I went to your house and I was like, this is downsizing. I'd love to know what house number one looked like.
It's all relative. Kudos and look, let me say this. Without the group of friends, the close group of friends that probably had to hear about this stuff more than they ever wanted to, and without Brenda Zeno, no way through it.
Well, the power of love, I feel like, is
no way through it.
Completely. So let's hit pause because I'd like to get back on our next segment into talking about the road to success and what we think it looks like and what it actually looks like, because you had some really interesting stuff.
And I think coming out of what we just talked about, I will talk about what the choices I made coming out of that.
I love it. Yeah. I look forward to that. So don't go away, anybody. We'll be back right after this with Darren Zeno on The Good Soul. Hey guys, we're back. This is The Good Soul. We're at episode 8, and we are talking success and how success is a muscle. I'm going to read you a quote. It's one of my favorites. Inspiration exists, but it has to find you working, right? It has to find you working. So a lot of us can, you know, a lot of people that we know, they're good looking, they have rich daddies, they have some sense of a level up. That's true. Right. But a lot of people who have that level up, they get knocked down. Right. So
I'm looking for all three of those, actually.
And you're never going to stop. You're never going to stop. You know, we've been talking a lot about in between segments and before the show, talking about this burning desire and this passion that to me, it cannot be extinguished within somebody like you. Do you ever have those moments, by the way, where you just collapse, like you just fall in this fiery pit of ash and you're like, I'm tired and I'm just going to check out for a day? Or
I do. But you know, what's funny is that it's just Brenda says that all the time. She's like, people don't have to go out all the time. People don't have to always be doing. I've always been that way. I don't need that. I need to be by myself. I want to be alone. Mm-hmm. I have to be in something has had to happen that puts me in a really bad place for a period of time. But even if I try, sometimes I will do that to make a point. I try to stay in there. I can't do it.
Gotcha.
Because my natural state is one of being around people, having fun, performing,
sure,
being the life of the party, I love doing all of that stuff. I do.
Check,
and so
check,
like
check,
I go, what ends up happening is I go back to that natural state. And I think it's important for people to hear that, because one of the things I've tried to do my whole life is be authentic. Like I firmly believe I've surrounded myself with a team of people that make a living out of selling, make a living out of relationships, reading a room. Mm-hmm. Am I really going to go to try to take all, if those people are as good as I think they am, or I think they are, am I going to go to try to fool all of them by trying to be something I'm not?
Yeah.
So the same guy you're talking to right now is the same guy that stood up on stage in front of 100 people last week.
Yeah.
And he's the same guy that's going to have a conversation with my team of six when I get on the phone with them. And he's the same guy that talks to Ansley and Katie as their dad.
You have to be consistent.
You have to be consistent and authentic. And I think, you know, what the world needs to hear is like, just be cool with that. Whoever you are, be the best version of that you can be and be cool with it. I think we live in a world now where, so if I'm naturally this, someone's trying to be that. If I'm not corporate enough or whatever, then I need to be more corporate because of the role I'm in. I should play this role. Mm-hmm. It's laughable to me.
Yeah.
Because what I said in the beginning, I truly believe everybody goes back to the mean. You're going to go back to what you are.
Your set point.
You are going to do that.
Geraldo Rivera was on Howard Stern once, and this is a little off topic, but he was talking about cheating on his wife. And he said, I'm too old. I can't do it anymore. It's too much work. It's too much work to be Darren corporate versus Darren dad. Manny and I really got to know you at Chastity and Nathan's. She had the pizza party probably 5 years ago. And when Manny and I moved into, well, we were at that point, we had just bought our lot and we were moving into the neighborhood. And you wonder, it's a beautiful neighborhood and they're high level people, high achievers. And you wonder, like, am I going to fit in? What's it going to feel like? And you are one person, I know specifically for my husband, that you sat down and had a conversation with him at that party. And it brought Manny to life. Like, it really, I feel like, job well done, Darren, at being authentic and having the ability to really tap into everybody, not just the people that you work with or the people that you play with.
I tell people this all the time. Look, I am a very much, for your listeners, whoever's watching this,
yeah.
I mean, I'm a work in progress. I very much know, I think, what I'm good at. I know what I'm not. Mm-hmm. I try to be self-aware about those things. I constantly wake up every morning trying to, you know, everybody wakes up in the morning, wants to be, has a version of their best self. And at the end of the day, there's somebody different and
sure,
you start over the next day. But I truly love, I'm the guy on the airplane that when you put your headphones on, mm-hmm. like I'm the guy that wants to have the conversation.
Hey,
I am. I love,
oh God,
I no, love like... people's stories. Yes. Because I love stories.
Sure.
That's why I love history of any subject, science, math. I hated it all. What I loved was history because at their soul, at its core, it's a story. Yeah. Henry VIII, what a fascinating story.
Fascinating.
You know, just, it's yeah. And then who are these people? Why did it happen? I love getting to know, like, why are you doing that? How did you get there? You know,
yeah.
I think it's exhausting for people sometimes. And I realize that too, you know, but mm-hmm. I love talking to people. Not all the time, but my natural state is that. And so the other thing is I'll never forget where I came from. I come from a very
middle class beginnings,
you know, South Philadelphia, honestly.
What did your parents, what did they do?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question. So I have my father who was in banking his whole life. Now I call him my father, but my real father left. My parents got divorced when I was 3
okay.
and basically signed me over for adoption when I was 5. Wow. I never saw him again.
Is he still alive or you don't know?
Nope.
He's not.
He passed away a couple years ago.
Wow.
Never reached out. And I, out of respect for my father who stepped in and raised me as his own and loves me.
Yeah.
I never looked into it.
Yeah. Okay.
But I will tell you this, part of who I am, if you think I don't wake up every day trying to prove him wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful, Darren.
I do.
That's powerful.
And here's the thing. When I talk about it now, it's funny. It used to not bother me, but I think as a father, being older, I think about that and go, how could you do that?
How could you do that?
So for me, though, the strength I take out of that is, like, I know who I am,
mm-hmm.
but I think you're naive to think, even if I think I've squashed that away somewhere deep inside of me,
mm-hmm.
it's there. You got to be self-aware enough to know that's part of who I am. Mm-hmm. So find a way to harness that and use it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there. It's who I am. And it probably affects me in ways
mm-hmm.
that I don't even know. My wanting to be well-liked, a severe desire to be well-liked, get very upset when I feel like I'm not.
Understood.
When I'm not in the cool guys club.
Same.
When I'm not, like, the reason I'm probably wired that way, whether I know this or not, is because of that beginning.
Darren, and fellow earthlings, you have turned it for good, Darren.
I've tried to.
You are self-aware enough to say that, which most men don't have the ability to articulate something like that. They just want to blame.
Yeah.
We can say what a bad man, you know, you were hurt, right?
Sure.
But you, it's like you almost, I don't want to say put it out of your head, but it's like jet fuel. It just propelled you.
It never affected me. And I never really even thought about it, honestly, until like a couple of years ago when I went through that kind of tragic stuff and was, you know, you think about everything and you think about how you deal with fear
mm-hmm.
and you think about why am I anxious? Mm-hmm. Why do some of those things creep their way up?
Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny? I say this to people all the time in business, anybody out there that's hired anybody, people always say, well, we want someone with experience. Well, we want somebody with experience. You don't get just the good stuff. Mm-hmm. When you get someone's experience, you get it all.
You get the bad stuff,
you
too.
Get the bad, the good, sure. All of it, right? Sure. But it's funny. We have this thing in our brain where we think, well, I'm hiring the person with experience. I just get the good stuff. Mm-hmm. The rest, it goes through like a lettuce filter and sure. It stays in the sure. bowl. All of it goes through.
Absolutely.
And so for me, the stuff I went through with that side hustle, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. And the financial loss and the emotional thing that went with that, you know, being born, you know, into a, you know, call it what it is, a broken home. And mm-hmm. I never felt like I had one because my father, who, you know, may watch this, I mean, he raised me. I mean, talk yeah. about being a man, yeah. you know, yeah. stepping in to somebody else's kid yeah. and raising him as your own your whole yes. life.
Well, and you don't wear this stuff also, and kudos to your father, I agree. You don't wear it as a badge of honor.
No.
This is not where the direction I thought this conversation was going to go, which is great.
When I hear about people like this happened to me and this happened to me and that's why I am like this now, you yeah. have to choose who you are.
Yeah.
I can't, God forbid if I let that determine, like I sit here today and I'm that because of that. And look, that other thing a couple years ago, it did a number and I remember a really close friend of mine said to me one time after I was kind of coming out the other side of it, she said, is the world starting to look normal to you again? It's a great explanation mm-hmm. yeah. of how it felt, you know, like it started to become back to who I started to become who I was again. But I think a better version of it, because, you know, it's you and I just talked about this, like I have a perspective that not a lot of people have. And everybody thinks, well, you know, I know how I'd react if I was in that situation. Do you? Yeah. Sometimes, like, it's not a lesson I wanted to learn.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I know what I'm capable of now. I know what resiliency is now. I know what really matters now, mm-hmm. probably more than I ever did before. Mm-hmm. But I only know that because I went through that. Sure. I had to go through it to sit here now and have the perspective to say, yes, that happened today and it feels horrendous, mm-hmm. but man, it's not what I thought that was going to be. It's not this. And look, the true meaning is, you know, your health and everything else. Like, God forbid something like that happen. And if it does, you got to work
through
that.
You deal with it.
You deal with it the same. But right. that perspective to have gone through it, mm-hmm. you know, it just, it, you know, between the thing that we were just talking about with my, you know, my biological father and the thing, those, all of those things are my experience, right. good, bad, or indifferent.
Sure. Okay. Hold that thought.
Yep.
Are you inspired, world? Because I sure am. I can't wait to come back because in our last segment, we're going to talk a little bit more again about that road to success, which we didn't get to. And also we'll go over a little bit on fear. So don't go away. We'll see you when we return. Thanks for watching. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 8 of The Good Soul. We are talking success and how success is a muscle, and it is most certainly no accident when you see people rise and fall and rise and fall, because I would say that 99.999% of every success story has something very similar to what you shared with us, and you want to be relentless, and pulling yourself up from the bootstraps seems to come pretty naturally to you.
Sometimes. I think.
So you have your moments. You have your moments. So let's talk about the two sides, right? So yeah. like this reflection.
You know, a buddy of mine a couple of years ago, you know, he's done pretty well in his career. I've done, depending on how you measure it, I've done well. A lot of people would want to be in the job I'm in. Mm-hmm. You know, whether they knew what that job was or not, they think they want to be in it.
They think they want to be in it until they get there.
But I think, you know, something I've talked about a lot, and my buddy and I, you know, a guy I grew up with since we were 12 years old, who were wired very similar, mm-hmm. very similar. The things that make us great, and this, I think this is universal. The things that have made me great at what I do, whether that's being outgoing, and a performer, and confident, and passionate, mm-hmm. and caring, all of those things, which I think if you put them all together, kind of have driven me to what I'm doing now, whether it be the music stuff or the running, so all of that stuff, right? those things untethered, those best qualities are my worst qualities. Jealousy, competitiveness, pettiness, micromanagement, or over manipulating. So all of those things in their, untethered version are your worst qualities. Mm-hmm. So I think at some point you have to wake up and realize like the stuff that makes me great is also the worst stuff about me. And I am a work in progress in that every day I know I have a tendency, I have those things in me, they're there. Mm-hmm. I can let them get untethered and I end up in a spot I don't want to be in.
How do you stay grounded in that knowledge and not let the untethered or letting those traits go untethered?
It starts with, I think people in, AA will tell you this, people like, it starts, the first thing you have to do is admit there's a problem. Like, you just have to know, like, that's there. I look at some people and I see them spiraling in a bad way.
So in this 2024 world, we say you're self-aware.
Yeah, and I think these people that are spiraling in a bad way, the things that are spiraling them down are the same things that would pull them back out if they were just used in the right way, mm-hmm. tethered in the right way. And mm-hmm. I am by no means a perfect specimen of this. I mean, I'm self-aware. I knew it was a problem. And I think a lot of self-reflection, especially through the stuff we talked about, to make me think, okay, these are the things that have made me successful. These are the things I'm looking for when I'm trying to hire folks and be around people that succeed. Nick Saban said this quote before, highly, successful people want to be with successful people. Mm-hmm. Mediocre people want to be with mediocre people. They just do. It's the way mm-hmm. it works. I want to be around other successful people. I want to be around people like me. But I also can see the negative side of me and other people as well. Myself untethered, right? And mm-hmm. so I think knowing that there's two sides of that in each of us and accepting it, saying I'm not going to, like this thing about like, I'm going to go through this 30-day period and change everything about myself and I'm not going to be that person anymore. You're always going to be that person, mm-hmm. but there's a way to take those things and make them palatable, use them to your advantage, and mm-hmm. as much as you can, limit. It's never going to be 10 for 10. But try to at least limit those things go. And I know when they do. After they do, I know it. And I'm not mad about the situation or anybody else. I'm mad that I let it do it. I'm mm-hmm. smart enough. I should have enough self-control mm-hmm. to keep those good things and yeah. not let them get to the other part. But that's part of it. That here's the thing. I know this. If I stripped some of that out of me, there's no way I'm sitting in the chair I'm sitting in today. No way.
Why? Tell me why.
Because those are the things that have driven me to what I've wanted to do.
Right. So not only just the superficial, the jealousy or the competitiveness, but also any type of negative self-talk. So getting back to what you said, like if I don't pay a bill, I'm going to jail, like that sort of thing. That is, my sister always says this to me, that's your greatest motivator. Is your flaws, is wanting to overcome that. And the day that you stop wanting to overcome that stuff and be greater than great is the day you might as well throw in the towel, right? Like we're constantly growing.
Yeah, I think you have to get your head around too. I mean, this whole thing you're talking about is success, right? You have to at some point wake up and define your success cannot be the success of the world around you.
Sure.
You're just never going to get there. I want to be Jeff Bezos. I'm kind of looking like him. I'm trying to get, I tried to buy this 400-foot yacht yesterday and they turned me away. Like, so what is my version of success? And that takes me to what we had talked about before, the book, Happiness. And first of all, it's a great book because there's lessons in there about how do you find happiness? How do you become happy? But success is not going to give you happiness. Happiness will lead you to success. And I think the greatest thing about that book, there's a graph in there that visually, and by the way, let me take a step back. A guy that worked for me for years and years, one of my good, good buddies, his wife was going through cancer. His kids were in high school. He couldn't get his head around it. Someone gave him that book. I was going through what I was going through. And he gave me the book.
So it's Sean Acorn. It's not The Happiness Advantage, but it's his other book. We'll get the name.
Yeah.
We'll put the graphic up on the screen.
Yeah, but the graphic, let me just tell you what it is. So there's a chart, right? And on the left-hand side is where we all start, right? So we all start at a place, wherever your place is. In our mind, at some point in our life, probably as we're young, and as you grow, an adolescent, you get your first job, you have the beginning, and then you already have the ending. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be on a beach. I'm going to have the thing. Mm-hmm. And everybody, human nature is you take a straight line through the start and the end, and you just draw it up. Mm-hmm. Well, how the hell do you know if that's the path?
Yeah.
And yeah. No matter what you believe in, and a lot of people believe in it, whether it's fate, whether it's God, whether you can put it, whatever you want in there, your path may be like this. Your path may be like that. And then who's to say the ending you drew is the ending?
Well, the target even moves.
Yeah. So it may move up and down on the right-hand side of that chart. Mm-hmm. And you're going to end up here to there. Now, in life, you're trying to make that at least go up. It may not go up to the degree you want. So you have to become comfortable with whatever that success is. Wake up in the morning and try to find happiness in whatever that success is. Once again, do I do that every day of my life, every waking moment? No, but I'm self-aware that I have to be aware of that chart. And when tomorrow morning, like life always does, it does something to me that I didn't like, that's that chart moving in my brain. I'm waking up at, 6 a.m. and that chart's only going up. This morning I woke up, my back was all jacked up for whatever reason. I don't know why, because I'm over 50, like you said. I was gonna run, but it was an elliptical day because I couldn't. Like, it's just life. It's just giving you something that my plan for the day wasn't what life gave me today.
And Darren, look at this is you though.
Yeah.
You're on the elliptical. You're not lying there. You're not running to Dr. Dan, the chiropractor. You're adapting.
Part of the success for me too, we talked about like what has done that for me. It is coming out of that stuff that happened, and what it makes me do is be regimented. So I am regimented, like that working out part, like that hour a day. And look, Ansley's in physical therapy school. She'll tell you everything I'm doing is wrong at my age and all. I know it is, but it's my hour a day. I hear this all the time at work. We need more work-life balance. Transamerica isn't giving me work-life balance. My job isn't giving me it's your job to take that.
Yes.
It's your work-life balance. Nobody gives you that. I schedule that hour a day. Mm-hmm. It's scheduled. When I'm playing at the tavern or doing music or whatever, it's scheduled. Now, look, there are things that come up that you can't move. But for the most part, that's scheduled. I regiment the things in my life that are going to bring me happiness, real happiness, which should lead, hopefully, to some feeling of success, not just work, the things outside it, the vacation that Brenda and I just got back from. That was scheduled, and we went, whether there was stuff going on or not, we went. Like, I'm going to take that work-life balance because ultimately I'll be a better employee. I'll be a better husband. I'll be better at something by doing that.
Are you remote or are you?
I've been remote. It's funny. COVID didn't matter. I've been fully remote for 25 years.
Isn't that amazing? Look at what you're accomplishing. Right from your home.
I haven't had an office in 25 years.
It's amazing.
These people are like, well, I went to the office. I went by the water cooler. I think I had it like when I was 24 years old. I've never had that.
So my biggest takeaways, and I'm sure that everyone listening and watching will agree, is know thyself, right? Know what you want. Know yourself. Be able to distinguish between the many versions of yourself. And this is the whole point of the show. We all have good and bad in us, right? And harness the power of the good, but also harness the power of the bad and let that propel you. Is there anything else quickly you'd like to add?
I would just say the people that are watching that really know me, they know those two sides better than anybody, probably. Hopefully, the people that I'm less direct contact with know more of the positive side of it. But look, I just think live life like, when you watch whatever you were talking about, the music thing or the running thing or the job thing, you got to find joy in this deal. I believe we're going to get one go through.
Yes.
So it's not all the time, and it's not, but find joy in what you're doing. Find something, find enjoyment. And if you do, I think the success and stuff will come with that because you're going to be happier by doing
it. Thanks, Darren. Thank you.
Thank you for
having happiness me. Brings success. Success does not bring happiness. Like, watch, share, and please come back next week. I'd like to have you back again. That was fantastic.
You bet.
Thank you, Darren. Thank you. And thank you, everybody. We'll catch up next time. See ya.